Well, good morning. It's a pleasure to be here. And it's a beautiful day. It'd be a beautiful day to be anywhere, but we're serving it best by being here. I've had the title of my sermon up there. It might be a little deceptive as to what I actually end up talking about. And I'm going to have some assistance today, too. So I'll let my volunteers know when it's time for them to come. Serving each other in love. There are lots of ways to serve, and we all are familiar with serving each other in various ways. If you're married people, you serve each other, and if you have a family, there's a lot of serving going on there, and the process is familiar to everybody. But there are some more aspects of this I want to bring up today, and lead on to a particular set of events coming up. So I don't want to deceive you. I'll tell you right up front that I'm leading toward getting everybody to our meetings on Tuesday night. And here's how I'm planning to do it. So I'm quoting here from Messiah, chapter 1, 48 and 49. It says, "Behold, I say unto you that because I say unto you that I had spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I have only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom. But when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, you're only in the service of God." And the king had a good deal more to say about that, but that is that's what he led to. And I think this is something that we hear in camp all the time. Isn't that right, kids? It's the service that we do for each other is really service to God. And there's a reason for that. I'm going to bring out some aspects of that as we go along. And this is a little bit more of that. "Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another." So he's making that a comparison and laying that on his people. Actually, that king and those people did very well with serving each other, and they were rewarded with an understanding of Jesus Christ and what he would do, even though this was many, many years before he would be born. And Messiah 50 continues that, and I think I'll read a little bit there. So here is verse 50. "Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then ought ye not to labor to serve one another. And behold also, if I, whom you call your king, who has spent his days in your service, and it hath been in the service of God, doth merit any thanks from you, oh, how had ye ought to thank your heavenly king?" And that's an aspect of it that I wanted to bring out. We might feel that we are doing great service to people in our family, in our church, wherever we might be. And sometimes we kind of take it like it was us. But it's not really, because we wouldn't be able to do any of these things if God had not given us the talent, the time, the place in history, and the people around us to serve. It's all his. And I want to amplify on that a little bit more later. But let's go on to this. I'm not going to read all those verses, so I'll skip that. There are a couple of things that came to my mind when I thought of the subject. One was what I just read, but I also thought about what Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 4, the early verses. And he talked about a vocation. Well, what is a vocation? Well, it's an opportunity to serve. That's what a vocation is. And so he said, therefore, this is Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." I think that has been read by some from here, from this place, recently. And I don't remember just who, but I know it's been referred to. And verse 4 said, there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called in the hope of your calling. So I like to tell young people about this because they're thinking about their future and what they will be doing. And I think many of them are looking for ways to serve. And it's good to remember that you have a calling and a vocation. This is not just a calling to the ministry, by the way, although that's included in this. It's a calling is, in this case, is what God has given you the ability to do. And he's placed you, again, as I said before, in a certain place and time, in a certain family, perhaps, and that is your place to serve. So what kind of vocation are you going to develop? If you're young and thinking about what you will do in life, then you're thinking about what your vocation will be. If you're older and you've made those choices, you're thinking about how this vocation's moving along. How are we doing well? Is it accomplishing what we want to see and feel and hear? And so we're all in that, in some position here in connection with this calling and vocation. And it applies a lot to our service for each other and our service in the families and in the church. He went on in this chapter to say, talk about our one Lord and our one faith and our one baptism. We are one. In the church, we are one. Sometimes it's whether we want to be or not, but we are one. And that's something we always need to recognize and keep it. We need to keep that spirit of oneness in the church. I say here, service is an application of love. You cannot serve other people or bring about the spirit of serving or the spirit of love has to be in it, or it just doesn't work well. You can tell when somebody's not sincere of what they want to do for you. And sometimes we experience the sharp side of that because people will catch us in our false love act, right? And it's happened to me before, and I see some smiles out there. I think I did touch a little memory there, perhaps. An application of love. So are there other applications of love? Well, yeah, there are things that we just normally do for and with each other, and that's true. But I'm thinking of the kind of application that has to do with serving each other and making each other comfortable and bringing about the events that give us a forward movement, that give us something to have joy over. That's what we want in the church. So quoting Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in God, as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Now, you might wonder what that sweet-smelling savor is about. It doesn't mean that Jesus had a sweet smell. No, it's kind of a reference to the old law, where the priests got out and burned bullocks and lambs and stuff like that, and then made their offerings for peace and for forgiveness and all of that. But that's gone. That was all brought to an end with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the altar. And so he was the last great sacrifice. And that's where we are. We don't need the other. That's done. But it's really strange how in many religions they bring that back. You know, they keep wanting to bring that back because they like the rules and they like the rituals that went with it. But we don't have that, and I'm glad we don't have that. But God did bring all of this to pass for us. And that's why we come here Sunday after Sunday and other days, and we think about that and pray about that and worship our God who brought that into being. If you go on in this chapter, it goes on to talk about love in the family, husbands and wives, even children. And after that, it goes on to talk about love in your workplace, the people who are bosses over you and so forth. So there's a lot of opportunities for us to be of service and to serve in love. I can remember the first big job I had. I was working in a factory, and we were making refrigerators. We could turn out 600 a day if we could. And if we turned out some number like that, we got a little extra pay. That was kind of nice. I worked there for 5 months, and that was all I could take. And I was a young man, my first job, and a lot of other young men. At lunchtime, they would sit in the stairwell, and they would talk about, it was all gibberish to me, but they'd talk about their girlfriends and stuff like that. And I didn't like it, so I started just eating my lunch by myself. So one day while I was eating lunch at a windowsill looking out over the city, the city of St. Paul, for a factory on the east side, somebody came up to me and said, I'm from California. Well, I said, I'm from California too, and it was true. I was born in San Diego. But I never guessed what would happen next. He started rubbing up against me and invited me to come up to his apartment and listen to his records. And I got rid of him as fast as I could. But in a very few days, I went to the University of Minnesota and enrolled. I was through with that business right then and there. Because I knew that in that community I had dropped myself into, I could not be of service. They needed someone to be of service, but I wasn't the guy, at least not then. And sometimes we have to make sacrifices. Sometimes we have to change what we're doing and who we're with in order to be able to serve. I've talked to people who have addictions, and one of the first things I would say to them is, change your friends. They aren't really your friends. If you have an addiction to alcohol or something like that, it's because you've been led on with it. And the first thing you have to do is change your friends. You look at people that we call friends, and we want to be loving with them and serve them in love. Sometimes the best way we can serve in love is to change who our friends are. That doesn't apply to wives and husbands, by the way. So going on in Ephesians, he said, wherefore ye are not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And the will of the Lord is that we be his dear children and that we follow him and learn from his love, because it is a perfect love. If we can love like him, we're good servants, because serving is giving of yourself to someone else to help them. And it goes on to say that we should always give thanks, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's where the writer then takes on the marriage relationship. I'm not going to go into that now, but I love to talk about that, but this is not the day for that. However, we do have places or situations in which there's a lot of opportunity to serve. And one is in your family. We have parents, we have children, we have cousins and all of that, aunts and uncles, and we cherish those relationships. But sometimes we run into some that are kind of difficult to handle. And still we have to be a loving member of the group. So we have opportunities there for service And one of those is in one of my favorite scriptures, the parable of the talents. Now, you might say, well, Brother Gill, what's that got to do with it? That's about money, right? You remember the parable of the talents? I'm going to read that. And I call it an analogy of God's judgment. So it's in Matthew chapter 25. When I get there, I'll start reading. And begins on verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus, of course, giving this parable. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Now that one statement is kind of important. To everyone according to his several ability. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Sounds like he's investing money, right? Well, that's right. So it was. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoned with them. Reckoning, like, what did you do with what I gave you? Reckoned with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. So an increase on the investment, no? That's pretty good. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Well, so far we're doing pretty good, right? Then he which received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there hast thou that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that had 10 talents, for unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now that sounds pretty bad. So what does that have to do with serving? The man who had the money asked somebody to serve him, didn't he? And they, 2 of them did well, and one of them didn't. And the reason he didn't is pretty obvious. It was, he was afraid. Afraid. Fear doesn't go along with serving. You don't serve in fear. You serve in love. And just to make that a little bit clearer, talent, the word, was translated by the translators of our Bible as talent. I don't know if that's what it was in the original writing that Paul, that Matthew was writing, but talent is always defined in your Webster's dictionary as a special natural ability. So we look at that story again. The master gave a special natural ability, and someone was to invest a special natural ability and get some return on it for the master. If the master is God, and he's going to judge what happens with what he gives out, then that gives us a special situation here. And I think that Jesus was trying to get this across to the people he was talking to. How have you invested the talents that God has given you? And are you using what God has given each of us that we may bear fruit for him without doubt or fear? Sometimes we get a talent and it's hard to develop it, and it's scary, and in fear, we can just drop it. There are other things I could do. I don't have to do this. I was like that with playing the piano. And here I was a student of music education, and I was supposed to learn to play the piano. So I went to a class, and I tried, and I didn't coordinate. I had trouble with it. Could I have learned to play the piano well? Oh, probably. But I didn't want to invest all the time in it that would have taken. I didn't want to work that hard. And there are some other things in my life that have been like that. I just didn't work hard enough. And so there are things that I haven't been able to do that I could have done. And this is a constant problem. I'll get on to the voice of the people later. Right now, I have some gentlemen that I asked to come up and help me with this talent thing. So if they would come up. You know, I like these young guys. They're a perfect example of what I'm talking about, because they're in the stage in life where they're learning things, and they're learning about God, and they're learning about serving people. As I'm going to start with Colin here, and because I know that he plays the piano, doing something that I haven't been able to do, and I wanted to ask him if he feels that that's a talent that God gave him. Yeah. Here, I want you guys to hear what they say.
Yeah.
Just yes. Well, do you have to work hard at it?
Yeah, you have to work pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. Did it just fall out of the sky, or did you have help with it?
I had to have help.
Mm-hmm. How did that happen? Is that another generation of people with help?
Yeah.
Such as, can you point somebody out here?
Manon helped me.
Well, Manon did. Manon, will you stand up? Where are you? Well, she's moving out there. Okay. Well, I think that Manon has helped a lot of people in developing their talents, and Colin is just one of them. What do you think about this analogy of talents being something that God gives you?
Well, it kind of gives me more hope to serve other people.
Okay. I think he's on the right track there. Has this got a switch on it? 800-589-4700. Not as good as the other one. Okay, we'll pass the microphone down. I think we have someone else here with music talent. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Would your experience be about the same as Colin's?
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And did your ability get developed from another generation?
Yes, it did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's to the two of you now. How do you plan to use this talent for God?
Spreading joy through music.
Mm-hmm. Is it going to be part of future talents that you are developing?
Yes.
Yeah. You too. Mm-hmm. Oh, pass the microphone down. We are looking at a couple of meetings coming up. And the Sunday School Association is a meeting. And there'll be opportunities there for people to serve, right? So meetings are kind of interesting. Have you attended any Sunday school meetings?
No?
Or church business meetings?
No.
No, you haven't. Can you tell me what it means to nominate somebody?
Like appoint them a specific position.
Okay. What happens if there's a tie in voting for people to fill a position? Anyone help him out? Someone has to break the tie, right?
Yeah.
Who usually does that? Whoever's in charge, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I've got another question along those lines. Anyone can answer this one. Say that we have four positions open, and there are four nominees, and someone else was interested too. How does the church handle that when they have a meeting?
Vote.
A vote, okay. And how does it usually end up? You see, the Church of Christ has special rules on this. When there are more people who could fill a position than there are positions, we just give it to all of them. And we enlarge the committee, right? Am I right? We enlarge the committee, especially if it has to do with the kitchen. So, hey, guys, you're doing all right. I thank you. And you can go back and sit down. Okay, I have gotten down to this in this slide to the voice of the people. I'm not going to read all of these things in Alma and Mosiah, but the voice of the people is mentioned many times, and so they were doing some pretty big things sometimes, like deciding who's going to be king, or deciding who they would launch the next attack on. But in one place, it's deciding how they would get out of bondage. And so there are some interesting stories about that. But in the church, we have a definite statement about the voice of the people. And all of our business is to be done by the voice of the people, which we take to be by a vote. And you can't have a vote if you don't get people together to vote. So that's why we have meetings. And we get together in those meetings, and they give opportunities for service. So we have serving in our actual families too. And I was thinking about that, so I just made a kind of a quick list here in the family, and it's mentioned in Ephesians 5:22-6:10. That's where it breaks down the relationship between husbands, wives, and children, and so forth. And I'm not going to read that now, but you can check on that yourself and reread it sometime for your own remembering and so forth. But I've been hearing recently about the nuclear family and the importance of the father in the home. And it would be a great thing for Daniel to elaborate on, but I'm not going to ask him to do that now. It was brought to my attention, not just by that, but in other sources too, that a father in the home has a lot to do with how the children, especially the boys, perform in later life. And many men in prison and men who have been in trouble in various ways can be traced right back to a home where they did not have a father or a father who was absent. And it's very important that we think about that, serving each other in the family. And I know that that has an overflow. The children then become good servants in the church. And any other relationship they have is improved by the fact that they had a good nuclear family. And the nuclear family is a husband, wife, and children, of course, with both father and mother in the home. So the church has a family, too. We call ourselves brothers and sisters, don't we? We do that for a reason. We are brothers and sisters, and there is a Father, isn't there? And our Heavenly Father, and we pray to that Father. We pay attention to what has been written by those who have been inspired by the Spirit that He gives. And we need to do that. It makes the church family, like the nuclear family, a place where we can be and can and have joy in the relationship and be helpful to each other. In the church family, we have servants that are called, elders, priests, teachers, evangelists, bishops, apostles, and these are positions we recognize. We look to the people who hold these positions and have expectations about them. And what a terrible tragedy is if we let the people down. How do we avoid that? By making that connection with the Father. That's how. If the connection is not there, it breaks down. And we need that going on all the time. That has to be my major focus in thinking about a servant in this family. I have to know that I have the leadership through the Holy Ghost of my Father. I pray for that. Other people pray for me for that too. And before I left home, my wife prayed for me for this meeting. She wanted to be here, but she has COVID-19 right now. We have mixed up a little solution of Clorox, and we are cleaning up our home twice a day. Yesterday, I washed the sheets because we don't want that to go around between us another time. I had it, and then she got it, and we started really doing the right thing. But anyhow, I got off the track a little bit, called ministry. And service is required of all church members, not just that ministry. Sometimes I wonder if we lean a little bit too hard on that ministry and don't accept enough responsibility for ourselves. And there are people that have actual responsibilities in the church who are not called ministry. And that gets me right back to the subject of the two meetings coming up on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, and the Tuesday after that, where we'll get together and we will decide some of that service of church members between church members. So there'll be a Sunday school and local church meetings. They're an opportunity to express thoughts make nominations, volunteer time for service. How many of you here have ever volunteered in one of those meetings? I mean volunteer. I don't mean got elected. Okay, I saw a few hands. I know there have been actually quite a few of those volunteers. Going back to Messiah 1:48, and behold, I tell you these things that ye may learn wisdom, that ye may learn that when ye are in the service of your fellow beings, ye are only in the service of your God. And that's the very feeling we should have when we're chosen for one of these positions in one of these meetings or have volunteered. That's what we should feel. It's not me. It's because of God. I'm serving God. And not that I think all of the people I'm serving are so good looking. It's because I'm serving God. And that makes the whole thing run a lot smoother. Also, we're looking to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all willingness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. You know, sometimes we do have a little difficulty forbearing one another. It's not everybody that I get along well with, but if I'm doing a duty beside that person for the church, it's not there. The friendship is there. The joy of working and doing something for God is there. There is no reason to hold back on being involved in the church just because you don't like somebody. Because in the presence of God, we do like them and we do love them. And that makes the whole thing an act of love, that we have those opportunities and that chance to do something for each other. Well, of course, I'm putting in a pitch for the meetings coming up. And I feel that necessary because in the past, and most of the time, the attendance has been small. And we have to go seeking people to serve certain positions or call somebody up and ask them if they were willing and so forth. And of course, sometimes we have an overflow of nominations and volunteers and we just make the committee larger. But I think if you don't come to the meeting yourself in person, you're missing out on something. And you are not really showing that service in love. So part of the service is being there. And there are lots of opportunities. I just made one list as a demonstration of it, and that's a list of committees. On the auditing committee, there's the social committee, there's the potluck kitchen committee. Everybody loves this one. There's the fellowship luncheon committee. There's a storehouse committee. There's the Missouri Reunion Assistance Committee. There's the library board. There is, got another one here somewhere, the theme camp committee. There's the Honduras committee. That used to be the Honduras School Committee. That's their major interest. The flower committee. And the multimedia committee. And the theme camp kitchen committee. And that's all. So what we need to think about, if you're on one of these committees or have an office of some kind that you are elected to, we should think about qualifications, shouldn't we? We have to be careful about that. So in not making nominations, we think about that. In accepting a position, we think about that. But I think there's never a time when we have a meeting when there wasn't somebody qualified to fill the general offices that we have on our list. Remember now, I've only listed the committees. I didn't say anything about secretaries and treasurer and all that, or about pastor even, but they're all things, they're all positions that we will be electing. So I'm advising here, accept the offices you're qualified for, choose a committee to work on, or you might want to make a nomination, or you might want to volunteer. But most importantly, be present and participate. So I hope you've enjoyed my message today, and that you will think about what it means to serve and to use the talents that God has given you, because we all have them, and we probably can do more than we think we can do.